Good to have you all with us. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ruth. We'll be in chapter 2 of Ruth today. There's not a better picture of the will of God at work than this chapter. It's literally a picture of God's strength for our weakness. Amen? Let me just give you a point of background. Remember, Ruth was a Moabitess. She came to Bethlehem with her mother-in-law, Naomi. Ruth did not understand the culture. She would not have had acquaintance with the people. The rules and regulations of that land were different than hers. The God that they worshiped was different than hers. Everything about being in Bethlehem was new to Ruth. Secondly, they came there basically in poverty. They had nothing. They were living somewhere with a relative. They had no income, no wherewithal to gain sustenance. So Ruth chooses to go into the field during harvest time and glean. Now, gleaning was not what some may suppose. Gleaning was picking up the scraps from the things that were either left there or were damaged. They would pick up after the reapers had gone through the field. So that's the picture that we have in this passage. This passage starts out with an interesting point. It says in chapter 2 and verse 1, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's family, Elimelech. I would make that a point of declaration. Naomi had a kinsman. Let me pause to say this. If she had not had a kinsman, if Elimelech had no close relatives, then what we're doing today would be futile. We would have no savior. We'd have no lineage. We'd have no provision. So this little statement, Naomi had a kinsman, is imperative. I want you to notice a few things about this kinsman. Number one, it says he was related to or a family member of Elimelech's family. Elimelech, if you go back in the Old Testament, you find out that Elimelech was brother to a man named Nahor. They were brothers. So he's related to Elimelech through his brother Nahor. So he was kin to Elimelech through Nahor. Secondly, he was a mighty man of wealth, it says. The word wealth doesn't mean today what we mean when we use this word. The Hebrew word literally means a man of valor. Boaz not only was a farmer and a very rich one, he was also a warrior. During this time of the judges, they were constantly being invaded, and the people that were normally working had to go to war. But he was known for his valor. This word wealth also means a man of character. So he's a man of valor, he's a man of character. And it also means, implies wealth or great substance. So the picture of Boaz is growing. He's related through Nahon to Elimelech. He's a mighty man of valor, character, and substance. And his name was Boaz. You know what the word Boaz means? It means son of strength. You know, Mahlon, M-A-H-L-O-N, Mahlon was the husband to Ruth. He died. Know what Mahlon meant? That word? Weakness. Ruth went from weakness to strength. This story goes from a bad situation to a good situation. So we have these three things about Boaz. So notice Elimelech and Nahon are brothers. Write this down. Nahon was father to a man named Solomon. S-O-L-M-O-N. Solomon. Solomon was father to Boaz. You know who Solomon married? Rahab the harlot. Rahab the harlot was Boaz's mother. Solomon was his father. You can find that, by the way, in Matthew 1:5, the lineage of Christ. So this woman of ill repute who happened to spy out and keep, protect the spies that went into Jericho was the only person spared in that slaughter of Jericho. The only person. And because of that, she married Solomon, a reputable Jewish man, and they raised a family. The first son was Boaz, who is in the lineage through his mother and father of Jesus Christ. That's an incredible, incredible point. So this little verse that says Naomi had a kinsman can't just be walked over or walked by or forgotten. No, Boaz was a man of strength. Listen to this. 200 years later, Solomon built a temple. When he was rearing up the temple, the porch of the temple required two large pillars. The main pillar was given the name by Solomon, Boaz. Boaz. Isn't that incredible? Solomon remembered the import of his family lineage and named one of the pillars on his porch in the temple, Boaz, son of strength. So Boaz is related, and Boaz is going to provide the lineage through which Christ would come. Now look at verses 2 and 3. So we have this, Naomi had a kinsman, amen? 2 and 3, and Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn. The phrase ears of corn is a Hebrew idiom. It doesn't just mean corn. It means any planting. Could be corn, could be wheat, could be barley. Here, we know that it's a barley and wheat harvest. So though it says ears of corn, it's talking about those sheaves that are in the field that are gleaned or are picked for barley and wheat flour to make breads with. So when it says, let me go and pick the ears of corn, maybe misleading when it is told us already that it's a barley and wheat harvest. So it's not talking about picking corn, it's talking about gleaning and picking barley and wheat. And let me do this in the sight of him that I may find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. Now it's important, that phrase, that I may find grace, because the law required in Leviticus chapter 19 that gleaning be reserved in all the fields during harvest for the poor and the needy. It wasn't always kept by the owners. Some owners would not allow anyone in their field. So though the law had dictated this, Naomi and Ruth had no assurance whatsoever that she was going to be able to go into the field and pick, glean. No assurance. So she said, I hope that I find grace in the sight of the owner of the field or someone there who was a worker there, that they will allow me the privilege to do that. So Ruth makes a commitment to provide for her mother-in-law. This shows a couple of things. Number one, it surely shows her love for her mother-in-law. Amen. Number two, it shows her diligence. She's no slacker. She didn't bide her time. She went out as soon as possible to glean in the field. And I think the greater thing it shows is her trust in God. Folks, if you're not certain of where you're going to go, or how are you going to land, you're not certain about a situation, you better make sure God's in it, and that you're trusting in him. Because if you're not trusting in God, and you're doing under your own, guess what happens? Failure. Ruth knew better than that. Ruth was a Moabitess, worshipped godless gods. She got, she through repentance came to Christ and became a worshiper of Naomi's God. And now she was trusting in Naomi's God, someone who could provide, someone who could take care of her, someone who would lead her, who would guide her. So here she is, she's going to provide for her mother-in-law. What a great thing. That shows her incredible love for Naomi, but it also shows her diligence in doing the job and her trust in that God is going to provide the place for her to serve. Not only has she made a commitment to provide for her mother-in-law, but I think she made a second commitment. You won't write this down. Her second commitment was to protect and provide sustenance when no one else would. Protect and provide sustenance when no one else would. So she was going out in the field to pick, make a provision. And there are at least two thoughts on this. Number one, while she's serving God there, she's serving God even in difficult times. This was not easy. Number one, it wasn't easy for anyone to glean because you had to cover a lot of ground just to get a little. But she didn't, that didn't stop her. She didn't say, well, I'm not going to get very much, so I'm going to go. She didn't do that. She went. And that's a picture of serving God even in difficulty. Folks, listen, as we walk through our life as Christians, just like Ruth, we're going to face difficulty. We're going to face hardships. We're going to face tough times. And we have to realize that we serve God, in fact, even when it doesn't seem to make sense. the second, I think, picture in this provision that she was trying to provide. Trusting God even when the way isn't clear. And it wasn't clear to her. Trust me. She said, I'm going to go glean. Help me to find. I hope that I can find grace. Somebody will show me grace. She didn't know where she was going. She didn't know what field she was going to. She didn't even know if she would get accepted in the gleaning process. So trusting God in that circumstance is an incredible picture. She did not know if she would be allowed to glean. She did not know where she would glean. She did not know in whose field she would happen upon. She just said, I'm going to go and trust God. What a picture. The third thing I think in this Ruth's commitment to provide for her mother-in-law, to provide and protect her mother-in-law, number three, this shows Ruth's ability to rest in God. Resting in God to work it all out. He had to work out her needs. He had to work out Naomi's needs. He had to work out her ability to glean. He had to work out the protection throughout that process. Listen, she was a Moabite woman. And we'll show you this bit. And she was a Moabite woman in a land that did not like Moabite women. And they were not looked upon kindly. And she could have been taken advantage of by any number of young men working there. And her life would have been ruined. She needed God's supernatural protection on her life. Think of that move, fewer Naomi. Unbelievable. There's a third thing. Look at verses 3 through 10. Verse 3 says, and she went. I love that. And came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her half, that word means her chance, her luck, her fortune, good fortune, was the line of the part of the field walking unto Boaz. Who was Boaz? Naomi's kinsman. Did Ruth know that? She knew his name. Did she know who he was? Absolutely not. Did she know where his field was? Absolutely not. She just happened upon it. It was by good fortune that God brought her to the very field under the ownership of the very person that she needed to meet for God to provide for the lineage that Christ would come through. All God's people said. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Verse 4. The old Boaz came from Bethlehem. He rode in. He had been out on business. Verse 5. Then said Boaz unto his servants that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? The reapers were not the gleaners. Gleaners came after the reapers. So this man had some charge over all the reapers. And the servant that was sent over the reapers answered and said, it's the Moabitess that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. The thought there is, he didn't really care that she was there. This man. It's that Moabitess. Those pagans. That's how they viewed them. And she said, I pray you to Boaz, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarry a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? But it's like saying, I've got to tell you something. This is very important, what I'm going to tell you. Don't let this slip by. This is important information. Go not to glean in another field. Neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap. Go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men? This is an important statement. That they shall not touch thee. That's an important statement. He had just set a standard of protection for her. And drink of that which the young men have drawn. Listen to this statement. Boaz now has done everything he could do with a chance meeting that could protect and provide for all that Ruth needed. That's how God works. God's in the taking care of business. Amen? Now, we find Ruth in Boaz's field, and there's just three important things. Number one, write this down, thinking of what we just read. God's leading is never by chance. All God's people said. Didn't that seem to look like chance? Didn't that seem to be like, man, I've lucked out? And I'm sure that's what it appeared to be. Ruth, I'm here by chance. But God never leads by chance. What appeared to be chance to Ruth was God's guiding end. God brought her to the very field that she needed to be in without knowing she needed to be there. God's leading is never by chance. Secondly, it wasn't until after that Ruth had arrived there that she understood where she was at. So here's a second thought. We often realize the leading of God after the fact. All God's people said. You ever been there? We often realize the leading of God after the fact. We look back on it and say, oh, what was I thinking? I see now how God directed that. She came to the field of Boaz. She had no idea what that was going to do. She had no idea the provision that was going to be made. And one third thing I think is pictured in these verses we just read. Where God leads, his care is served. For God leads, his care is certain. How do we know that? Number one, in Boaz's field, she found companionship. Work with those ladies, those women. She found companionship. As an Moabite woman who did not have a friend other than Naomi, did not know a single person other than Naomi, went to glean in the field and ended up with several friends, acquaintances, that she could know and meet and she was to stay with and work with. In Boaz's field, she found companionship. Number two, in Boaz's field, Ruth found protection. I've given the young men an order to touch you, not to lay a hand on you. No familiarity at all. In Boaz's field, Ruth found protection. And thirdly, in Boaz's field, Ruth found refreshment. Don't wait to go back. Don't try to find water by yourself. Come and drink where the maidens drink, where the men supply the water for the workers. Come and drink there. So a gleaner gets to drink with the reapers. There was a provision for refreshment. Go into the vessels drawn by the workers and drink. So there's this beautiful picture of Boaz's field and Ruth arriving there. There's one other thing. Look at verse 12. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord, Mrs. Boaz speaking to Ruth. A full reward be given to thee of the Lord God of Israel. I love this phrase. Under whose wing, thou art come to trust. We have a song in our songbook, Under His Wing. Under His Wing shows us a great deal about Ruth. Why did Boaz say that to her? Look at verse 10. Then Ruth fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been shown. I love this. All that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore, the Lord recompense thy work. He said, I pray that God will overshadow you, protect you, guide you, lead you, keep you. And he said all that because Ruth displayed three, I think, the most important Christian traits you can display. Number one, Ruth had a humble spirit. Two things are noted if you note the historic precedent. When Ruth bowed down to Boaz, she declared her honor and respect for Boaz. She was showing honor and respect to Boaz. When she bowed down to Boaz, she did a second thing. She showed a submissive spirit to God's direction. She was bowing down to a man of great power in God's economy. And when she did that, she was not only respecting Boaz, she was submitting and respecting God. Humility is the mark of true royalty. Humility is the mark of true royalty. What are you saying, Pastor? As children of God, the High King of Heaven, humility should mark each of our lives. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Was a time for Ruth to be exalted. Boaz was being exalted through praise. God was being exalted through submission. Ruth would later be exalted through marriage. So Ruth had a humble spirit. Secondly, Ruth had a testimony. And he tells us about it. I've heard about it. I mean, he was coming from Bethlehem and he's riding through Bethlehem out to the fields. Everybody said, have you heard about? Did you see? Did you know? Did you watch? Did you learn? By the time he got to the fields, he said, I've heard all about you. I've heard about how you took care of Naomi. I heard about your willingness to come with her, even in the loss of your husband and your father-in-law. You left your family, your mother, your father. You left your home. You left it all to come here. I've heard about your goodness. Then I see you out here in the field, gleaning for Naomi and providing for the family. And he said, I've heard it all. She had a testimony. It had spread throughout all of Bethlehem, all the way to Boaz. You know, I don't know if we put enough stock where we go, who we go with, who we know, who we don't know, who are our associates, what things we do in the light or dark. Testimony. She had a glowing testimony. Ruth had a humble spirit. Verse 11, Ruth had a glowing testimony. And number 3, verse 12, Ruth was blessed. I want you to listen to verse 12 one more time. The Lord repents thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel. Now he is not talking there about getting some barley. The phrase full reward is all that God can do for you, all God's people said. A full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Truth be blessed. One commentator wrote by this, notice how kind and tender Boaz was to Ruth in his speech. I wrote down 4 things. He spoke kindly. He spoke encouragingly. He spoke helpfully. He spoke lovingly. Kindly, encouragingly, helpfully, lovingly. Now let me say this. There are a lot of young people in the church, a lot of young believers in God's business. Those of us who are wiser and older, like Boaz, this is how we need to talk to young believers. We need to talk to them kindly, encouragingly, helpfully, and lovingly. Wait a minute. That's how we're supposed to talk to those who don't know Christ. Kindly. I have 2 people that help me in my dialysis. Both are gay people. I speak to them as best I can, kindly, encouragingly, hopefully, lovingly. Was come out of the office yesterday in the morning. One of these young men was following me, and I was dizzy, and he grabbed me, walked me out, sat me down, stood by me, brought me water. He took care of me. Love is said to conquer all. I believe that I'll get an opportunity to witness these 2 young men. I'm praying that they'll come to Christ. But even if they don't, my responsibility is to be kind, encouraging, helpful, and loving. Just like Boaz was through. And there's one other point I'll make, we'll be done. Boaz, in verses 15 through 17, honors the honorable. He honors Ruth. He says to the young men, let her glean from the sheaves. This is an important statement. Not from the field, not after the sheaves. But let her glean from the sheaves. Let her do that. Let her be a reaper. Let her glean from the sheaves. And in case she's not picking it up or not quick enough to get it all, he said, give her handfuls When the reapers picked, they picked handfuls, wheat handfuls of barley, and they put it in a large group of handfuls, and then when it was big enough, they bound it, sent it into the place where they would willow the fallen grain. So when it says handfuls, he said, when you take a handful, instead of putting it on the top of these others, lay it down purposefully, handful of purpose. I love that. Lay it down purposely so that when Ruth comes by, she'll say, oh, she'll pick it up. She'll put it in her keeping. So there are three things. Number one, Boaz honors the honorable, number one, by giving Ruth a special privilege, glean among the reapers. Number two, by supplying her need, you won't believe how much. You know, doesn't the Bible say God will do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think? That's what he did for Ruth. There's a third thing. Boaz honored Ruth by caring for her beyond the day. He didn't just care for one day so that she'd have to come back the next day. When Ruth got done with that one day of work, she carried back to Naomi an ephah of grain. 7.5 pounds of barley grain. All God's means. Make a lot of bread. Amen? A lot of bread. Not for the short term, but for the long term. Ruth is a beautiful picture of how we're to live the light of difficulty, the light of the unknowing, the light of God's provision and care. How we are to live. Let me say one other thing. A good testimony. We talked about Ruth. The good testimony is earned. It's earned. When others see and share your testimony, what it does is it challenges them to be better than they are. And it's a wonderful testimony to the grace of God. But it's got to be earned. You don't deserve it. You can't simply just say, I should get it. It's got to be earned. Lord, help us to live like Ruth. Pray in Jesus' name.